I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
I feel so lonely. I have nobody here except for Mike. Melina Mike, Facebook legend. What's up?
Hey, Nate, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm glad I was one of your last resorts. But, yeah, I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy listening and joining in with you. So thank you for having me once again.
Absolutely. And so anybody out there that's not following Melina Mike on Facebook, he's one of the best follows in all of Facebook. He always has action. He always has, you know, great updates on events, amazing insights into some of the players at the events. And if you're not following him on Facebook, make sure that you get over there. So we'll get you a plug for being on the podcast.
I appreciate it, brother. Yeah. Anything for the sport I love to be in with. So yeah, if it's out there, if it's coming out, I try to be the one to put it out there first. So I love it.
Even if you get yelled at sometimes for doing it.
It happens. It
Inside
does. I'm
baseball.
Not gonna lie, it does.
So we don't have to waste any time with the introduction. We can jump straight into it. So I got to get a couple things cleared up in the beginning. So we'll start with an update on the Patreon system. So we had 4 new Patreons this week. So thank you so much to Jeff Smolik, Matthew Ross, Ben Young, and Ryan Harmson. Additionally, David Peters, who was already a Patreon supporter, doubled his Patreon support every month to becoming the very first executive supporter of the podcast. So that is basically the highest level of support that you can actually do for the podcast, which is insanely generous, and it's going to help out a ton towards all of the future goals that we are going to have with the podcast. So the first goal that I'm going to have with the podcast is to actually get a high-quality video camera, and I'm going to start doing some videos, actually, for the podcast. It's been requested a ton since the beginning to do live podcasts, and that may or may not be an option, but if it is, it's not going to be anytime soon. And the reason for that is because the guest hosts are all remote. So Demetrius does it from his home in the Twin Cities. Rob does it from his home in Marshfield. If we have any of the guests on, it's always done remotely. So any sort of video content would basically have to be done independently at each individual location, and then would have to get streamed together to basically create one podcast. And it's not impossible. It's very, very possible to do, but it's going to take a lot of coordination. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of funding, because we're going to have to get basically a high-quality video camera in all locations. If I'm going to do something with the podcast, I don't like the idea of doing something low quality. So I don't want to use a laptop webcam or, you know, a video camera on your phone or anything like that. If it's going to be done with the podcast, it's going to be done in high quality, professional quality. I think ultimately that's what the listeners are going to want anyways. So just know that that will be in the future, very soon, hopefully, very soon, near future. The support that you guys are going to be giving is going to be the biggest reason that actually happens. So I cannot thank everybody enough for the Patreon support that you've done. It truly is going to be the make or break future of the podcast. So thank you so much. Now, with that being said, we can move on to next Monday is actually going to be the very first raffle for the Patreon supporters. And if you head over to the Facebook page for the Cue It Up podcast, you can see some of the gifts that I've been posting that have been donated. In the very near future, Q-Tech will be sending gifts as well. And so will Billiard Factory, and so will actually the UPA, which is awesome. So there will be a bunch of gifts coming up in the very near future to add to what we already have. But next Monday will be the very first drawing. And whoever wins the drawing will basically have a pick of what is available right now. So whoever the winner is, I will get in touch with them, and I will basically give them all of their options. The only gifts that will not be available yet, I believe the UPA is going to be sending an actual set of balls. And John Barton has been generous enough to donate $250 towards a custom case. So basically that's the cost of a custom case. I mean, unless you want to add some embroidery. He's basically giving away one of his free cases by JB Cases and John Barton. So Both of these gifts are extremely generous, and they are going to be some of the grand prizes for some of the higher-tiered Patreon supporters. Everything else will be available for pickover, basically. And you could take... We have a Jacoby gift basket, which has just a bunch of Jacoby swag, a t-shirt, some keychains, some chalk holders, a coin holder, a $25 gift card to their store, a bunch of stuff like that. McDermott, which has a bunch of game room stuff, so shot glasses, shots, coasters. They've sent jerseys, a jump cue, t-shirts, hats, stuff like that. And there's also going to be the Jennifer Beretta signed 10 ball with a cue it up towel that comes with it. So those will be some of the options. And like I said, we're going to have more coming in the very near future. So if you have not become a Patreon supporter yet and you have been wanting to, now is the perfect time, because next Monday will be the very first drawing. Monday or Tuesday, I should say. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there. Before the next podcast, it will be... the very first drawing, and I will do that to Facebook as well, live, just like I did the Moscone Cup magazine drawing winners today, which is why I'm talking about it. But so the winner for that is Rob Miller. Second place for that, which is a t-shirt, is for Scott Doolian, and then Stewie Pickovance gets third place, which is a patch. So those were the winners from that, and if you wanted to head over to see how it was done, I went Facebook Live with it and shared the screen so you can actually see everything that was going on. The Patreon raffles will be done something similar to that, but I try to make it a little bit fun to watch, as well as, you know, fair for everybody with the way that we do the drawing. So the amount of entries you're going to get into winning these prizes is going to be dependent on the tier of support that you are partaking in. So one entry is going to go for the lowest, two for the next highest, three for the next highest, and five for the top one, because that's kind of a pretty big level of support, and you know, we definitely want to weight it as such. So there is still time to become a patron if you're interested or willing to, and that can be done at Patreon, so patreon.com/queueitup. Or you could just go to the Facebook page where I have showed all of the gifts that have been sent. And on all of those posts, I will actually have a link that goes to the Patreon for the podcast. So, and with that, I guess we can move on. And so now we can move on to the shout outs. Mike, would you like to go first with your shout out?
Oh boy. You always put me on the spot. I never get prepared for it. I guess, shout out to, I don't know, man, I guess Dennis. I want to give a shout out to Dennis because he's been playing really well lately, and it's good to see him bounce back after that Shane match a few months ago. So I hope Dennis comes back stronger than ever, and he's been playing a real good one pocket event, which is one of his specialties. So shout out to Dennis. Keep it going, brother.
For sure. He has been playing. He's been a treat to watch these past few months. He's been hitting the ball super strong ever since Derby.
Yeah. I agree. Even at Derby.
Yeah.
Chopped the got master of the table. So,
yeah, he made me look like an idiot because I predicted I cold called Billy Thorpe was going to win all around, and man, did I look like a genius after the second event, and boy, did I look like a donkey after the conclusion of nine ball.
Well, yeah, I mean he definitely had a poor showing in nine ball, but yeah, Billy, I was sitting there during the one pocket finals, and I watched Billy a few matches in one pocket. It was one of the most exciting matches I've ever seen, and Billy is the kid just made for TV, man. I mean, he's so dynamic and very exciting to watch. But it's, yeah, I mean, Master of the Table, it was a really smart pick, man, for sure. And really, he had it locked up until the end of nine ball, you know, the last few matches. So Lee Van going as deep as he did and beating Dodong and was really the turning point. So. Yeah.
And a good tournament for Lee Van. But so that's a good shout out. I'm going to give a shout out to all of the people that at the WSBA this past weekend in Wisconsin, which is I'll have a episode coming out soon with the people that run the WSBA. It'll be a Wisconsin only one, but it's still relevant for some of the people that listen around. But I'm going to give a shout out to all the people that swung over by the booth and bought stuff. I'll even give a special shout out to somebody that I met this weekend. His name's Rick Porter, and he I think he does photography. I don't know a ton about him because I just met him this past weekend, but he had this photo that he put on Facebook, which was like doing my two favorite things, listening to podcasts, the Cue It Up podcast, and playing pool. And it was just like a super awesome picture. And I shared it to the Facebook page for the podcast, and I just thought it was really, really cool. So I'll give a shout out to everybody who stopped over, and especially if you bought something, that makes me happy. and a special shout out to Rick for that awesome photo that he posted to the Facebook wall. So with that, we can jump into the podcast. So there were a couple of bigger events that happened this past weekend, and we can talk about the Side Pocket first. So this was streamed by Sullyvision, and it turned out that, I mean, there was just some monster players in this field. And so it was taken, first place goes to Jeffrey DeLuna, the Bull. Second place goes to Warren Kiamko. Third place goes to James Aranis. Fourth place goes to Rob Saez. Fifth, sixth goes to Roberto Gomez, Superman, and Rick Stanley. Seventh, eighth goes to Shane McMinn and Jesus Atencio, I think, maybe? Atencio. Yep. 9th through 12th goes to Christopher Thomason, Jean Salim, Ryan Robinson, and Caesar Munkall. So because I was, unfortunately, at the booth this entire weekend, I didn't get to really watch any of this. Were you able to watch any of it, Mike?
Yeah, I did. It was a really... Jeff and I are going out to Shreveport a few times a year. I've been to Side Pocket. It's a really great pool room. It's a league pool room. I think they only got like 2 9-footers there, and the rest of it is just stacked with bar boxes. They play on valley tables, but they're not like typical valleys. They got ridgeback rails, so it tightens them up, and I've played on there. They can be a little tougher with those rails. So typically, I'm not a fan of watching, especially 9-ball on a bar table. I don't really like watching a whole lot of bar tables with pros, but this can be a really exciting event. The Calcuttas in Louisiana can get really nice.
Crazy.
I think the first place for the Calcutta side was like 13,000. So I don't know how much Jeffrey had of himself, but I'm sure from looking at the picture that he got a pretty good amount of money.
He had a stack.
And it was pretty surprising, actually, Jeffrey winning. Roberto was the defending champion. Roberto, he's not like your typical Filipino because he's over here in the States quite a bit. I think he's living here full-time now out of Houston, so he's got a lot more experience on bar boxes. And Jeffrey, out of all the Filipinos, probably has the least amount of experience on bar boxes. But, he was breaking the balls really good. Warren made a really strong push there in the finals to push it to the second set, but race to 7, anything can happen, and it did. And Jeffrey went home with the cash. It was really good, especially that last day was pretty exciting. So
for sure. Yeah, and Warren,
it was real cheap to go and watch.
Yeah, Warren Kiamko, the only person he lost to was Jeffrey DeLuna twice, so Jeffrey was definitely seemingly separating himself from that field. He played insanely good from start to finish, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a 9-ball, you know, on a 9-foot table, Jeff's got to be one of the favorites, I think. But Warren's one of these guys, man. Like,
he's such a grinder.
He's got such a like Ralph Touquet style to him, you know, where he makes the balls and gets position. You know, he doesn't do anything too exciting, but he's kind of like that workhorse. You know, he puts on his hard hat every day and takes his lunch pail and just goes out there and goes deep. And he's a threat in any event. And despite his age, you know, he was even hanging in there, you know, playing pool all day long. So I know he beat Dodong pretty convincingly, if I remember right. But yeah, Warren's just a really strong player. His all-around game is just really good. He does well in one pocket as well. So, but it was a surprise to see Jeff go and play. I think the pick of the litter went to Dennis in the Calcutta, and Dennis didn't really fare too well. But that just shows, like, bar table is really gambling.
It's a real equalizer.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, any of these guys can go deep. But Rob Saez, another guy, he's always there in bar table events towards the end. Dodong as well, he's got a lot of really good experience on bar tables. I think he's probably top, you know, in my opinion, top 3 or 4 in the world on bar tables. So Jeff winning it, and I know Jeff is going to be here in the States going back to Derby whenever I talk to him. You know, he's going to be here for I think, 4 months, and he's got kids back home. So, you know, he's here to make money. And being a family man myself, it was really great to see him snap one off. And once you go and get that monkey off your back, so to speak, he's got a lot of anything going to happen in these next tournaments coming up for Jeff now that he got one off his back. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him in upcoming events.
For sure. And he was a World Cup of Pool representative with Carlo Piatto last year, if I'm not mistaken, too, right? I mean, so Jeffrey DeLuna definitely is. I mean, at least Matchroom thinks he's a top player out of the Philippines if they're going to put him on that team. So that's, you know, he definitely yeah, has that gear in him.
Yeah, they were in the finals last year. They lost to the Austrians in the finals.
Which isn't even fair because the Austrians apparently are way too good. They shouldn't even be allowed in this tournament anymore. All they do is win it.
Well, I mean, Mario, he was definitely the guy who carried the team last year. And I think Alvin even said as much after the event was over with. But watch out for Lechner. You know, I think that if they didn't win last year, Lechner would make the team. And I told Max this at the World 10 Ball, but... Alvin's a world champion and deserves all the respect in the world. But I think for my money today, I think Lechner is probably the best Austrian and is probably a top seven European, in my opinion. But the Philippines, the Philippines can go and make like eight teams.
Yeah.
You know, they're so deep. Yeah. They're so deep with talent. But yeah, Jeff is one of these guys where he's very exciting to watch. He can pocket the balls great. He can get great cue ball action. Their style of plays are kind of contradictory where, you know, Carlos kind of just, he keeps it simple, you know, so it made for an interesting dynamic, but they really played well last year. And I'm excited to see who Matchroom puts together out of the Philippines this year. So it's hard to go and argue against Jeff though, because he even had a great showing individually at the US Open playing nine ball, which is what the World Cup is. So,
yeah, he finished fifth through eighth, if I'm not mistaken, right? Individually?
Yeah. He played good. So
someone can fact check me on that, but I think it was fifth through eighth. But I think it's going to be even more interesting to see what happens with like you kind of hinted at it with Austria. You know, who do you know Max deserves a spot. Who do you kick off, or how can you even kick somebody off with two out of three? I mean,
I don't think you can. I mean, they're champions. Let somebody knock them off first, and then next year they can go and talk about it. And that's what I told.
I agree.
Max the ten ball. You know, it's like it's tough because I think he's playing as well, if not better, than you know Alvin and Mario right now. But because they won, I don't think you can change it. Let those guys go and defend. You know, I think it's only right. They deserve that opportunity, and you can't have two teams out of Austria because I don't think there's a fourth player that'll go and make it exciting. But Max is going to get there, and he's coming and. Everyone knows about him now after the international, and he's going deep in Euro Tour events. So if you haven't seen Max Lechner go and play, you're missing out because that kid is as strong a European as anybody out there, and his break is phenomenal. He makes smart decisions, and he's exciting to watch, too, I mean, bottom line. So
And he's tall, which makes me happy. There's not a lot of great tall pool players. it makes me feel like I have a chance as a tall human being myself. Makes me feel like I can actually play some good pool.
And he's humble. He's got a good attitude too. That goes a long way.
He's a true European when it comes to everything that he has going for him. He's the Europeans have that gentlemanness to them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we can leave that there, and we can leave the side pocket open there, and we can talk about the other event that happened. And this was a little bit smaller of one, but we have to talk about it because Tyler Steyer wins it, and that makes me happy because Tyler's a Wisconsin guy. So Tyler Steyer completes the double dip over John Mora in the Golden Nickel.
Okay, so I saw a little bit of this, and I know because somebody shared a stream where it was using a Nest cam, which I think is like some kind of nanny cam, but whatever, the stream quality was great. I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't realize it was a double dip, but congrats to Tyler. The kid, you know, he puts in the work. He's got a great break. I mean, bottom line, he's got a really good break.
Yeah, so. He does.
It's good to see him.
He's got one of the best breaks in the country.
Yeah, for sure.
Sneaky underrated. And that took some cash for him, too. That was first place for that, just for the tournament, was $2,850. So second place goes to John Mora, as I already hinted. And that one goes for $1,750. So this actually had some pretty good money in it for this event. So third place makes me very happy to see a woman up there. Brittany Bryant gets third place, which is awesome to see. Fourth place goes to Dean McNaughton. Fifth, sixth goes to Greg Plutzner and Josh Robson. So looking down through the list, I see Jason Klatt in here. I know that Alex Olinger was in this field as well, but he didn't place. So there was several pros in this field and 97 people total. So pretty good event, and congratulations to Tyler Steyer for pulling off the double dip over Mora. That's not going to be a very easy thing to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, John playing in Canada is tough to go and beat, you know, in his hometown, or not hometown, but like home country. And last year at the World 10 Ball, they probably had one of the most exciting matches that nobody saw except if you were there. I don't know if anybody streamed it or not. I know I didn't. Yeah, I think it went hill, and they met up before. Tyler had his number that day, but got lucky, you know, in my opinion, because Mora had it and got a really brutal roll. But yeah, Tyler works hard. He travels a lot more now. I hope good things for the kid, and I'm a fan. So it's good to go and see him get another win under his belt. A lot of people were saying that the Kremlin Cup was kind of fluky, but it was such a difficult event. And to see him go, and I mean, out of that field, out of the players you mentioned, he should be there in the finals, but to go and double dip John, and in nine ball, because nine ball is John's best game. So to go and double dip John in nine ball is not easy to do. John has a really good nine ball break, and he can run ball. So congrats to Tyler for that, for sure.
The U.S. is, I mean, we're not Europe by any stretch of the imagination. The talent coming up through the ranks in Europe is just stupid. But the U.S. is in pretty good hands as far as some of the younger players we have coming up with, you know, players like Chris Robinson, who I actually found out listens to the podcast, so that makes me happy. Thanks, Chris. Tyler Steyer, Billy Thorpe, Sky Woodward. I mean, we have a lot of really, really great younger players that are coming through the ranks. And actually, I'll give a shout-out to Caden Hunkins as well. He won the Wisconsin Masters division this weekend in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Awesome.
And that is, I mean, how old is Cade now? I think he's 18 years old. And, I mean, you probably don't know who he is, but I mean, you're going to know pretty soon, because that kid's getting good fast. He's grew up in the same area as Sergio Rivas, and he's kind of on that same trend line. So another good player, Sergio.
Sergio played in the Texas Open, and I followed a little bit. I mean, you would know a lot more being out of Wisconsin. But, yeah, if you're putting him in that same class of players, then he's got to be a killer. So congrats to him as well. I mean, it's no easy task to go and do winning a Masters division. So that's awesome. And it's good to see young players coming up, because the American pool needs it, for sure. They need to have a good, strong youth program in place, and they're working at it. Jeremy and Joey do a lot with juniors, so to go and hear about guys winning big events like that is pretty phenomenal. So congratulations.
Yep. So we can move on from there. And so those are all the events that we're going to cover, so we'll talk about what's coming up. So we'll talk about the first tournament that's going on right now, and that is the Scotty Townsend Memorial. And I'm actually watching this, and I think you were as well, but now you're sitting in a car doing a podcast, so how exciting is your life? But
well, you know, I got girls, so it's, you know, I can have a controlled environment being in the car right now. So.
Yeah, for sure.
These are the sacrifices I go and make for your listeners and for you, buddy. So you better appreciate it.
Yeah, so you guys got to appreciate Melina for you know, taking these drastic sacrifices of sitting in his 1986 Honda Civic that's rusted out and falling apart as we speak.
Actually, that was probably my first car, actually. So now I got the dad car. I got the Ford Escape.
Ford Escape. So we'll talk about the Scotty Townsend, and I'm actually watching it right now. Roberto Gomez is playing Francisco Bustamante in the one pocket and is down 2-0. None of this is relevant because it's going to change by the time you hear this. But basically, we're going to cover this. I guess I should finish this out. We're going to cover this as if it's an upcoming event, but know that once you hear this podcast, it's going on right now, and it's being streamed by Pool Action TV. So you can head over there and get your subscription to it if you would like and watch it. It's the one pocket is just stupid entertaining. There's so many monsters, and which is what I was going to branch off from a little bit ago before I caught myself. Did you see the amount of money in this Calcutta?
Yeah, Louisiana does really well in Calcutta. Those boys out there in Louisiana like to gamble. They put their money where their mouth is. I think the pick of the litter went for $6,000, which was Tiger Lion, who ironically
lost his first match.
lost his first match to Corey. So, one pocket. I think one pocket really shows overall who the better player is. And I'm not saying Corey's better than Alex by any means, but everybody can have their day. Corey played phenomenal. He's such a creative player. I mean, if you watched the match last night, it was so exciting to go and watch. And I did a Calcutta also, not nearly as much money, but we did it online, and I got Alex. So I had Alex and Corey. So I won, but I kind of lost too. So, but no, Alex is a phenomenal, phenomenal one pocket player. I'd say he's probably number one in the world, 1A or 1B, depending on.
By far.
Yeah. him and Dennis played him so Dennis, well. Yep. Yeah. So to see him go and lose, and it went hill. Corey had a phenomenal out. But 16 players raced the floor. The better player, should win, and the better player did win last night because Corey did play better.
Yep.
Last night, but yeah, it's crazy because I mean, last year I think in Buffalo's Alex beats Corey like 6-0, I think in the finals.
Yep.
So yeah, but it just shows. I mean, Corey can get there. He's a really, really great one pocket player. He's top tier in my opinion, right below Alex and Dennis. But yeah, I mean, it was for pretty sure. Exciting, yeah. And I love watching one pocket and those boys in Louisiana. I mean, it doesn't get any better having one pocket in Louisiana. Action packed. So yeah.
You kind of hinted that you had a Calcutta for this as well. So I won't let you plug your own stuff, but I'll give a little bit of more insight into what you do. Is you actually do these things. So if you're a listener to the podcast and you like to sweat some matches, you often have different Calcuttas. You have odds already up for the U.S. Open, and you can go over and basically it's all Scout's honor. So, I mean, if the action's good, he's going to let you bet. And you can bet on whatever you want. You can choose whatever you want, and the action is good.
If you got somebody who will vouch for you, you won't have to post. But if it's somebody I don't know, you'll post up. And if you don't want to post, that's fine too. You just won't participate. But for the most part, all of my guys who get in it, they're regulars, and everybody pays up. We haven't had any issues, luckily, over the time I've been doing it, and I like to keep it that way. So, it's fun. I mean, everyone likes to go and sweat it, and online is super convenient. We can reach out to guys all over the world.
Yep.
It makes events just that much better to go and watch. But the one pocket by itself is exciting enough, but to go and have some sweats on it makes it just a little more juicy.
Sure, yeah. Another reason to get over and follow Molina Mike's page, so you can partake in all these things. So we'll go back to the event. The money in the Calcutta, like I said, is just absolutely... Well, in the money in this event in general is just stupid. First place for the tournament goes $10,000. The auction, the Calcutta four, takes another $15,500. So you're looking at a $25,000 payday for a 16-person tournament. That's unheard of. You can't find that anywhere. I mean, unless you're playing in a matchroom event and you're winning the U.S. Open, you're not taking that kind of cash for just about anything else. If you want to make money in this game, you got to go to Louisiana and you got to play one pocket because that's
And even in the U.S. Open, you got to go and fade 127 other guys to go and do it.
So finishing out the paydays for this, second place for the tournament takes $6,000, $11,600 for the auction, $3,000 and $7,700 for the third place, $2,000 and $4,000, just under $4,000 for the auction for fourth place. So crazy money in this event.
One pocket is where the money's at, that's for sure. It's not, unfortunately, it's not made for TV per se because you really got to be a diehard to go and appreciate all the nuances of the game. It's not, fast paced and, it can't get on ESPN, but it does have the most money. There's a lot of players who are going and playing. And I was at Derby City and I had the pleasure of watching, Josh Fuller go and play one pocket. And I tell you what, man, if that kid, as much of a monster as he is in rotation, as much of a break as he goes and has in rotation, it is one pocket is strong. You cannot give him a window because he banks balls so well.
Is it really?
It was scary to go. He took Scott Frost to the hill. And I mean, mind you, he's a European. He never plays one pocket, but like once a year, So he takes Scott Frost to the hill. Scott wins that one. And then I forgot who Josh ended up losing to, but yeah, I watched him play a lot of matches against some really, really solid one pocket players. And that kid can flat out play because he pockets balls so pure. So, like, if you give him one ball, he can turn that into 6 or 7 and then just kind of fade off moving a little bit. So,
It's basically like Dennis Arcoyo about 3 years ago, where he didn't play a ton of one pocket, but he was such a pure cueist that, you know, that he just robbed everybody because he was just such a strong, he was just so much better at, you know, cueing the ball than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, do not let that kid learn moves, because if he can learn moves, it's going to be scary. If he can learn moves and the shot, it's going to be scary, because he runs ball so pure, and that that comparison to Dennis is spot on, you know. So I watched him go and play a little bit with Dodong, just kind of cheap gambling, and Dodong's been playing for a few years now, and Filler was just steamrolling him, and they were playing even, and it was just, and that's whenever I started paying attention to, whenever it was tournament time, to watching Josh go and play one pocket. It was, he's a monster. He's a monster in every sense of the word. But yeah, Scotty Townsend, it's going to be great. Dennis is in the field. Corey just knocked out Alex, or not knocked him out, but sent him to the one loss side. You got the Moscone Cup captains themselves, Jeremy Jones and Joey Gray are in there. Chip Compton is also there. Justin Hall, who, you know, was in the finals with Billy and took him to Hill Hill there at Derby, and also Billy's there. It's just such a stacked field of guys. There are 16 top players. I think the buy-in was like $1,000 or $2,000. I think it was $1,000. But it was. Scotty Towns is going to be a great event. Ray does top-notch work. His 6-month pass is the best bargain in the business.
It is. It's $120, and you get all of his events for 6 months. I mean, it is the steal of the pool industry. If you like to watch pool, I mean, Ray Hansen really, really is he's the cream of the crop when it comes to pool streaming right now.
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about it. He does a really good job here in the States. And, it's going to be a really great event over the next, I think, another 2 more days, I think, before the 9-ball starts, which the 9-ball will be bar table. Dennis has a pretty good draw, but you got Roberto and Bustamante on that same side. And, you know, Busti is a Derby City champion. He's a gambling champion, just like Dennis is in one pocket. So, it's really a coin flip there. Justin and Corey are going to be playing in the second round. So that should be pretty exciting. Justin is one of those players, like whenever he's engaged and he's on, he's a top level one pocket player. Unfortunately, he can have moments where he's not engaged and he's not focused. But yeah, his Derby performance was really good. He's been playing a lot out of Houston over the last couple weeks. You know, he's in gear right now and he's in stroke. So Justin's kind of one of those dark horses. Warren, on that same side of the bracket, it has won a U.S. Open one pocket just last year. I think he beat Shane in the finals out there in Vegas. So Warren is more than capable. Yeah, it's going to be such a great event. I love watching one pocket. So,
for sure. I agree.
Make sure and tune in. There's going to be a lot of really good matchups coming up. So
yeah, for sure. You kind of hinted that there's other big events coming up in Vegas. We won't talk in depth about that, but the Diamond 10 Ball Open and the Predator World 10 Ball are starting up very, very soon. Those are going to be in Vegas, starting the 11th for the Diamond 10 Ball Open, and then the 15th will start the Predator World 10 Ball. So those are, I mean, this is just an amazing time for pool right now, because right after that, the World Pool Masters starts up on the 26th. So like if you're, and then going into April, you have the White Diamond Super 9 Ball, and then the U.S. Open is on the 13th. So, I mean, this is the gem of pool right here. This stretch of pool for, like, this month, this is where it's at. This is, if you're a pool player and you're loving pool, this is where it's at. This is, so get your memberships, get your get your passes, and just buy a lot of popcorn, because this is a lot of pool time for the next month.
Yeah, I think there's even a WPA Players Championship coming up too, right before the U.S. Open in Vegas also. So, it's crazy how many great events there are, how much money's going into pool right now. These guys are having to travel a lot, but, you know, they're able to go and make a decent living if they can go deep and even snap off an event. So,
absolutely.
It's a super, super exciting time. We're going to have world champions crowned in the next, you know, 2 weeks. So, it doesn't get any better than that. A lot of people will go and say, oh, so-and-so is a champion, but there's a certain prestige and a very specific honor to go and be a world champion. So I'm really looking forward to these events coming up. And on World Championships, Matchroom bought the World Championship 9-ball, so that's pretty exciting news. Pool is just overall in a really good state right now. I'm I cannot be more excited.
Yep, I cannot echo that more. This is a good time to be involved in pool, and it's a good time to have a podcast, and I get to partake in it almost. So we can move on from there, and we'll close out the podcast. So we're going to do a discussion topic today because we're kind of, I guess, uniquely qualified to be able to talk about this. And we're going to talk about where we get our pool content from. And what I mean by that is when I'm doing research for the podcast or I'm trying to figure out different little tidbits about what's going on in the pool world, I have my kind of niches where I know that I can go and get the information that I'm looking to find. And Mike, that's a lot of what you do. You post all the time, just like constantly updating the pool world with what you do. And you're getting that from your different niches too. Sometimes you just happen to, you know, kind of stumble upon something and you think it's super interesting, you decide to share it. But most of the time you're getting a lot of your information from the same sources. So I think this would be a really good discussion that we could talk about for any of the listeners out there that want to get some more pool content, to kind of direct them where we get it from so that they could potentially go there too if they wanted it. So do you want to take away some of the – you want to take it away with some of the stuff that – some of the sources and stuff that you find?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously my main thing is Facebook. That's what I do. I'm not on very many other on any other social media platforms, but I know that there's plenty of guys who are, who have a lot of followers, you know, like Instagram, for example. But Facebook is really huge. There's a lot of stuff going on there. It's so convenient to go and get and, you know, go and read it, you know, to go and get your information from, because it can come up on your news feed and things like that. So I follow a lot of players. I'm friends with a lot of stake horses. I'm friends with a lot with a lot of promoters. So I hear of a lot of things coming up, whether it's action or tournaments or things like that. But, you know, even from like following the Emily Frasers of the world, you know, or, you know, coming on here and listening to your podcast. And I know there's a bunch of different outlets to go and listen to it from. But I also even subscribe to, you know, magazines, as outdated as I think it is to go and do it at this point. Just because social media is so convenient to go and read an article or to find out information, to go and break news and things like that. But I mean, players are where it's at, you know, and like I said, I'm friends with a lot of them but I follow a lot of guys too. And, it's so convenient because a lot of them are also available. So, you know, in Messenger and things like that, you can get a hold of them. And that's kind of how I've built, you know, the things that I go and do in those relationships. So,
so are some of your favorite players and stake horses and promoters to follow?
Well, I mean, the obvious is going to be Matchroom when it comes to promoters, and because they're the gold standard right now. And anybody who doesn't think so is living under a rock. So, if they don't have every major right now, they got the most important one, Emily Frasier. But it's not just Emily, and this is where the genius comes in, because over the last year or so, you know, and I've noticed quite a bit, is that everybody is sharing these Matchroom, these Team USA Moscone Cup, these Team Europe Moscone Cup, all these follows, everybody is sharing it. So if you go to Shaw, if you go to Shane, if you go to Billy, if you go to Sky, if you guys were even hoping to go and make the team, you know, guys like, you know, your Chris Robinsons or whatever, any of these guys who are up and coming, they're all sharing Matchroom events. And Matchroom does a really good job marketing, because they post little teasers and little videos and these interviews, the Carl Boyce of the world, the Jeremy Jones, they're always posting stuff. They're staying relevant even during the off season, but right now there's nothing going on, but there's stuff coming up in the next few months. So, you know, eyes on the Moscone Cup are year round now, because we're able to go and get these videos, to go and get these interviews, to hear these coaching changes. So they're staying relevant year round, and the core players and the people on the team are doing a great job of sharing all this content. So
for sure.
People going and talking about it is huge, you know?
If you don't mind me jumping in right here too, Matchroom put out another huge bombshell in the last few days of that they're actually going to have their own streaming service now with highlights.
Yeah, I saw that.
With highlights and events and like replays and stuff, and it's all going to be free from what I saw from the post. I haven't done a ton of research into it yet because I've been so busy recently with quote unquote life. But if that turns out to be that gets rid of DAZN and all of the some of the problems that they had with DAZN as far as their streaming stuff. I mean, this is game changing for Matchroom. If this continues through and it works, this is huge for Matchroom. This would be like a total game changer in the industry.
Yeah, I think that they have to go and control their numbers, right? So they want to be able to go to sponsors and say these are the numbers that we're getting on these events to go and entice new sponsor companies to go and come in and put more money into the sport. So I think it's a genius idea. Obviously, though, if it is going to be a subscription, it has to be good, because not so much on the production side, because we already know what to expect, but just the feed itself, we don't want it to be choppy, we don't want it to be blurry, we don't want to have it go and stall in the middle of a match or anything like that. So hopefully they get those bugs figured out. It's a really exciting time. Anybody who doesn't think Matchroom is a gold standard is just crazy, because they're the nuts right now. So, but stick course wise, the Sword Brothers, Carlos Sanchez, Roy is still, doing a lot of things behind the scenes and has got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. And there's a few other stake courses who I go and follow. And there's matches happening all the time. And sometimes it's difficult to go and get these matches streamed just because players don't want to be streamed sometimes, but people want to see the action, very, very exciting to go watch, there's a lot of guys all over the country who do stuff that you never hear a word about.
Yeah,
but like, owner of Buffalo's is also one of these guys who, I don't know if you follow him on Facebook.
Oh my God, he's hilarious. He is so funny.
Oh man, he is the best following on Facebook, and he posts all the time, which is what I love. So,
Austin Hill and him are the best follows.
Yeah, no, Austin's great. I love, following his posts as well. He's hilarious, man. So, and he travels a lot. So, mad respect to all those guys that do that.
Yeah, so I'll take it from here. And so you cover. I basically agree with everything that you said as far as like the follows. I mean, those are the follows that you follow no matter what. You have. I mean, if you're going to be a pool player, you're going to love the game. It starts with basically a lot of those players.
Yeah.
From there, a couple that you didn't mention, and these are great follows too. For more like actually people that do it in the industry, as far as kind of what they do. And Level 2 Billiards, Jay Garrison, he does great work on keeping a lot of things up to date on Facebook and Instagram. He has a ton of followers on Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. I'm going to be soon. So there you go. You heard it here first. But Jay Garrison does good work with Level 2 Billiards. Garrett Troop does great work with Sneaky Pete Mafia, both as the magazine and as the kind of the following on Facebook. He's got a ton of followers. I think he's got like 10,000 followers on Facebook. So he's, he's a great follow. He's a great promoter of the game. There's also, smaller ones like the Qist, like Eugene. He does a lot of the social media work for the podcast. The stuff that he does on the Qist is super good. So the Qist.net, we can absolutely give. That's his website. All of his social media stuff, he does through the podcast. So if you like any of the stories that you hear through the podcast, that's all done by Eugene. And his website is theQist.net. So head over there because he has way more in-depth articles there. Billiard Digest, they do a lot of good work. I mean, magazines are a little, archaic. I haven't read a magazine for years, but if you enjoy reading about your information, Billiard Digest is still, Michael Pinoza does great work over there, and it's still the gold standard as far as information in the form of, magazines. I mean, he does great work with those. So
Phil Capel also. Phil does a really good job. and he's got relationships with a lot of these, like, AccuStats and things like that. So he presents it very well. It's a lot of information, not a lot of information, but it's really quality information on event. So Phil Capel is another one of those guys who does a really good job also.
Yeah. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up for me. That's where I get a lot of my information. And then of course, Pool Action TV. Even if you don't, subscribe to his stuff, Ray Hansen does a phenomenal job of keeping the viewers and the fans up to date with all of the action going on at all of his events. He only covers his events, but he also has, you know, some of the biggest events in the industry. So that's another, even if you're not going to buy his streams, which again, $120 for 6 months is the best bargain in the industry. So I highly advise that. But if you're not doing that, just the follow on Facebook is super important to keeping up to date with a lot of what's going on in the pool world. So
right now, like pool needs support, you know, from fans as well. So I know you'll get guys who will go and complain about paying for streams and things like that, but let's hope that there's great things on the horizon, and I think that there is. So but right now the guys who are giving us this great, like the actual game itself, you know, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, we all love the game, so go and support the guys who are putting it on for us as well. It's super, super important,
for sure.
And
for sure,
they work their tails off to go and get it to it.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to leave this discussion. That should give the fans a pretty good start on where to follow. And well, actually, I'll give one more here. Raleigh Williams. If you've never heard of him, I mean, again, I mean, everybody knows who Raleigh Williams is. He has a huge, huge, huge following on YouTube and on Facebook now. For whatever reason, you live under a rock and you don't know who he is, you got to get over and follow him too, because he does some amazing pool content with the game, and he's funny and he's smart and he's witty, and he really, really, really is great at making content for pool. So another person will give a plug to him.
I think he did it from the Kamui page.
Yes.
I think it's,
He does videos for the Kamui brand. So there's another person that you got. I mean, it's not super informative as far as like what's going on in the pool world, but he is great about, you know, getting to really meet a lot of the pros and doing videos and kind of giving you a good insight on who these actual pros are, and, you know, gives you a pretty good insight to their character. So that's an easy one too. Head over to Kamui Brand. You can find on Facebook, and you can find all of his videos, or you can just go to YouTube and search Raleigh Williams or the Average Pool Player, and you'll come up with it. So that's an absolute must for following pool. So now we can leave it there, and we can move on to our two tip segment. So I'm putting you on the spot again, but I'll go first so you can think about a tip. So my tip is going to be, and this is, so I've had a lot of discussions recently with people that, you know, they'll ask me, like, how do you stay calm in the moment? And the truth is, nobody does, right? You're always nervous. If you're not nervous, you're dead. So everybody gets nerves, whether you're playing in the Moscone Cup and it's knotted up 10-10 and it's 4-4 for the last point. Everybody gets nervous. It's not, you know, you're not unique there. The difference is how do you control it? And how do you control it in a productive way that's going to help your game as opposed to hinder it? So when I get nervous and I get super shaky and stuff like that, a good thing that I like to do is just take a deep breath, close my eyes, and collect myself in the moment. And what I mean by that is don't make the moment bigger than it needs to be. Give it the respect it's due, right? So if you're playing in an event in the finals of an event, I mean, that's a big moment. But don't make it bigger than it needs to be. Don't give it a platform that's bigger than what it should be. Stay in the moment, take a deep breath, collect yourself, and, you know, just really, really try to bring yourself down to zen. Try to control and calm yourself down to the point of where, you know, you can take a shot and not feel like you're going to shake the entire room with your nerves. So that'll be my advice as far as kind of collecting yourself in the moment. Don't make the moment bigger than it needs to be. Deep breaths, close your eyes, open them up when you're ready to shoot and when you feel calm. It's hard to do in the moment because you don't even think about it, but it is very important. It'll help you with your nerves a lot.
You have to be conscious of it for sure.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. The one tip that I'll go and give, and it kind of brings in the last topic that we just discussed also as far as the follow, but I would say go and follow Charlie Bryant. He's got a new page going out. It's called Hillbilly's House of Gain. Charlie is a great teacher, and I've gotten he calls them little nuggets of information, and he covers a variety of different things. I would say go and follow that. You'll get so much content. They're starting to do live videos, and you can really, really learn a lot, improving different aspects of your game by going and just taking his advice. He presents it very, very well. And if he's ever in your area, I would say also try to get a lesson from Charlie as well, because it pays off. And I've been one of his student, so to speak, by taking his advice, and it works. I mean, the stuff he goes and gives is phenomenal. So that would be my tip. So shout out to Charlie.
All right, sounds good. So Demetrius isn't actually going to be on this episode, but he recorded his Coach's Corner and sent it to me so that I could still add it into this episode. So here it is.
Welcome to the second episode of Coach's Corner, my corner of the podcast to help you get your pool game to the next level. This is Demetrius Gelatis with MN Pool Bootcamp. Last week, I talked a little bit about why I felt fundamentals were overrated, and that was meant to be provocative, and so I'm glad I got a few responses. So before I go into this week's, which builds off of last week's, I just want to mention and respond to a couple people that had questions or comments. So everybody was very respectful, and I appreciate that. So the first thing was, I understand fundamentals are very important. I did say that. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm saying I think a lot of people misdiagnose what they need to do to get better. And I think it's usually more at the higher levels too. You know, beginners, of course, you need to put in a lot of work in fundamentals. And I do see a lot of players that lunge and jerk their strokes and struggle to execute strength and cue ball where they want. So clearly, different players need different skills. And there are some players that have massive holes in fundamentals where some good coaching and training would definitely help. However, as we talk about the majority of players that have, you know, put together many years of playing and have a lot of knowledge, it seems like that's, like I said, that's not where the big leak was. And so I wanted to talk this week about where I see some common leaks among, you know, the people that are intermittently running out tables. And where I think that is with cue ball patterns. And so it's interesting because one person responded to me that I thought was kind of neat. They had this hierarchy of pool skills where players start by learning the fundamentals. Then they learn how to pocket balls. Then they learn how to play position. And then they kind of eventually learn how to play patterns towards the end. And it made sense to me because that's true. First, you have to hold a cue, and then you kind of focus on slugging balls in the hole. And then eventually you learn about tip placement on the cue ball and speed control. But patterns are something that kind of are left more, I mean, because you really can't play good patterns until you can do the other things. I mean, patterns are nothing more than using your cue ball paths and knowledge to build a run out, you know, course. And you can't really build a good pattern without good cue ball and with all the other things that we've talked about. So it makes sense that they kind of come last. But then unfortunately for a lot of players, they don't come at all or they don't come at the right level. So I want to talk a little bit about why that is and what we can do to fix it and a drill that I invented to help you fix that. So why do patterns get underdeveloped? I've thought about this and, you know, one thing is that a lot of players don't get a good example. You know, they're playing other local players, and most players play pretty atrocious patterns, and so therefore, they don't really get shown a better way of doing things. More insidious is that they get good enough to get away with it. A lot of these guys get good enough to where they can run the table despite some mistakes with their patterns, and they can get away with it a lot of the time. And they don't even realize there's anything wrong, because in their mind, they're like, well, I ran out. That's just how pool is played. Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't mean to play that ball in that pocket, and I had to add a couple extra rails, and I had to come with that shot, but, you know, I mean, that's just pool, right? But I want to help you guys see it through my eyes, which is, that happens, okay, that is pool. You know, pool is doing your best and dealing with, you know, recovering when you need to recover and doing what you need to do to get the job done. But it's also about striving to not have to do all that. It's about striving to keep it simple and foolproof. And so what I see when I watch a lot of players play and they come over, I do training with them, is that a lot of these people, they don't really understand how much those little percentages cost them in their runouts. And it, to me, it looks like they're trying to cross a balance beam and they're wobbling and wobbling and wobbling, and they may make it across, but it you know, really, I'd love to see, you know, like when you watch the Olympic gymnast, they're not wobbling. They just, you know, stay in the middle, keep their balance. And that's how I think runouts should be. And so the biggest problem, though, about learning patterns is that you don't get clear immediate feedback. And so when you look at shot making, if you miss a ball, boom, the table tells you immediately right now, hey, you didn't make that ball. And if you hook yourself playing position, you're like, oh, I hooked myself. That was a poor shot. I lost my draw. I decelerated and I lost my draw, or I just overhit that ball, whatever. But with pattern play, you don't always pay the penalty as soon as you make the mistake. So, like, for example, somebody was talking to me about how straight pool is a great game to learn patterns. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's, you need to play good patterns to play good straight pool. But is it really a great teaching tool? So, like, if say you're playing straight pool and you're in the middle of your rack and all the balls are open and you've got a really good break ball, but you play a bad pattern, you get out of line, and you end up having to shoot your break ball in the middle of this rack. So then you're like, well, I'll just have to figure out a different break ball, manufacture one, take a, you know, suboptimal break ball. So you get to the end of the rack and you give yourself a second best break ball. It's not as good, but it's still workable. And then you make that shot and you break open like three balls and the rest of the rack is all wedged up. And so then you're trying to figure out how to run these three balls and secondary break the rack. And you kind of stagger through and you get somewhat of an angle on some kind of a garbage secondary break ball. And you try to go into the rack again and you open up one more ball and get wedged and run out of shots. And hey, that's the end of your run. Okay, so you just, your run's over. Do you really remember how a rack ago you played a poor pattern and ended up having to shoot your break ball? Is that what you think of, like, when you run out of shots this rack? Are you like, oh yeah, I screwed up a rack ago? Or are you thinking, oh, I hit the shot poorly, or I got a bad roll, or I could have gotten a better angle on the secondary break ball here and it would have been better? Or do you not even know, and you just kind of shrug and you're just like, I don't know, sometimes my runs just end randomly for some reason, I don't get it, it's just the way pool works, you can't run a ball. So, like, I just don't think that that's clear immediate feedback. And people are already kind of like, I don't know, man. It's like they're kind of in denial. I think most people are in denial about how bad, or they don't understand how bad their patterns are. And so if you tell them, hey, you got to play good patterns, they'll be like, yeah, I know. I try. I do. But they don't even know what they're missing. So that's the problem. How do I get people to see things through my eyes and get clear and immediate feedback on their patterns so that they can understand that every little bit of pattern play and every inch and every angle is important, and that if you're not taking it seriously and you're not playing the correct patterns with the correct cue ball routes, that those percentages, the, you know, will just add up and kill you. Like, you can't play good pool if you're taking unnecessary risks every transition. It's just, you're not going to consistently execute. So here's what I came up with. Entering the three-time drill. The three-time drill, you get to play the five-ball ghost. And don't worry, that'll be plenty tough. You mark the ball, so you have a five-ball layout. You throw the five balls out there, you mark where they are. You get ball in hand, and you shoot the first ball, but here's the fun part. You have to shoot the first ball three times. And each time you shoot, wherever the cue ball ends up, you mark that spot. So let's just say the balls on the table are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you shoot the one ball in three times, and you mark the three spots that the cue ball ended up. And then when you go to shoot the two ball, you have to play that from the worst of the three positions. So whatever the worst outcome you had on the one ball, that's where you have to play the two ball from. And then you shoot the two ball in three times, and you mark where the cue ball ends up. And wherever the worst of those three positions was, that's where you have to play the three ball from. And you have to play each shot three times, all the way up to pocketing the five ball three times. And if you can beat that, then that says a lot about your patterns and your cue ball. Because what I think you'll find is, what I've seen with my students, is that most players choose patterns to where they get there some of the time, but not every time. And that means that every time they're shooting, think about this, if you can't beat this drill, then what you're doing is you're playing in such a way that, you know, like, a lot of times what they would do is, like, one time they'd get position, one time they'd get to where they have a recovery shot. So one time they get good position, the second time they'd get to where they had kind of a recovery shot, and then the third time they might miss the ball entirely. And then, or maybe they get two times they get position, but one time they get a recovery shot. Well, that's great. Well, now you got that recovery shot. But now with this drill, you have to make that recovery shot three times and get good position three times. It all of a sudden, it starts getting too tough. And it quickly teaches you, when you practice, this is a drill where you can practice where you do not get recovery shots. You don't get recovery shots. And that's the right way to practice. Or at least, you know, some of the time, is that you have to build your patterns so that you're not trying to use recovery shots and hero shots to stumble through racks. How about you play your patterns to where you're not doing that. So a lot of my students, their coins are all over the place and they don't know which routes are the best. And I pick paths to where my coins are piled on top of each other, like Robin Hood shooting a second arrow through the first arrow. Or if they're not, they're like on a, 6 to 12 inch strip of cloth that's on the same line of the angle that I want for my next ball. So I usually play these patterns where my coins that I'm using to mark my cue ball, they're all grouped together or they're all in a pretty good area. Whereas the students I work with, the markers are all over the place and a lot of those things are recovery shots. They snowball and very, very frequently they can't make it to the three ball. And so this is what I put together to help people start to realize how much the little percentages matter. Because when you play a shot once, it's all too easy to be like, oh, I just didn't hit it good. Or you could set it up and hit it well once, or you could make it well once and be like, yep, that's the right shot because it worked. But it's like, no, was it really the right shot? And a lot of times you do this pattern, you realize you do this trail, you realize the pattern you thought was right. Boy, you can't seem to get three coins within a foot of each other. This can't be right. And then maybe you reevaluate. Maybe you accept shooting a harder shot on the second shot that you can at least get to consistently. Or maybe you find a route that's actually doesn't look as optimal, but actually you can get the coins grouped up because it's a more natural cue ball path, even if it looks like it's a tighter quarters to stop. So anyway, this drill, I believe, is one of the best things I've ever come up with. I wanted to keep it a secret because it's such a good drill, but I'm like, no, I got to tell the world because it'll get out there anyway, and I might as well share it with our listeners. So it's my rigor drill. You're welcome. The three times drill. And then in the end, there are going to be a warning. There are going to be five ball runs that you just can't succeed with this drill because there are runs to where the transitions and shots are difficult enough to where nobody can really play the worst of three times every time and get through it. I've run into runs that are just too difficult for me to consistently get through. But if they're routine runs without, Hail Mary transitions and really, really difficult, if they're laying routine, this is a really good drill to take. It'll make routine runs feel like challenging runs, and it'll teach you the importance of every inch on this table. And that's what I want to give you, is every angle matters, every inch matters. And that if you want to talk about consistency, consistency isn't about fundamentals. Consistency is not about some magic thing where you always play your best. Consistency is about being able to do the three-time drill and choose patterns to where your cue ball ends up in the spot you want it to time after time. That's what consistency is. The three-time drill will do it for you. And if you need help, if you're frustrated because you can't make it work, then you can get a hold of me. A lot of people ask me how to reach me. You can find me at www.mnpoolbootcamp.com. Demetrius Gelatis here. And feel free to get in touch with me. Let me know what's working for you. And if you need help, I'll teach you how to land all those coins so that your cue ball is always stopping at the spot you want. All right. Take care. Thanks for listening.
So we can close it out there. And Mike, thanks for coming on last second. You are a great last resort.
Hey, you know what? I'm somebody's first, but today I'm your last. It's all right. Buddy. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
No, I appreciate it. And obviously you've been on it in the past and it's went well, and we've had great fan support for having you. So we always want to try to branch out a little bit to having more diverse, guests with people that, should be on the podcast, of course. So I appreciate that you're willing to work with us and, your good sportsmanship about, coming on and being a great co-host for the podcast.
Well, thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it. I'm a fan. I enjoy it. And just keep going. Keep going. I know it can be a struggle sometimes. Hopefully, guys go and we support you as well. Listen in. All the companies who are supporting you, mad respect to them. So just keep up the good fight, brother. We're all rooting for you, and you do a really good job.
Thanks, man. It's always good to hear stuff like that. So we can close it out for the week. Thanks again. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Cue Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, the Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com, and Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.